Chapter 38, The Rewards, a graphic scene of the Judgment Day. I had a dream once in which I saw a large company gathered together, and suddenly the heavens gathered blackness, the thunder rolled, the lightning flashed, and a voice louder than the heaviest peals of thunder sounded through the heavens and the earth, saying, "It is done." Part of the company with pallid faces sprang forward with a wail of agony, crying out, "Oh, I am not ready." The question was asked, "Why are you not ready? Why have you not improved the opportunities I graciously gave you?" I awoke with the cry ringing in my ears, "I am not ready. I am unsaved, lost, lost, eternally lost." In view of the solemn responsibilities that rest upon us, let us contemplate the future, that we may understand what we must do in order to meet it. In that day shall we be confronted with neglect and contempt of God and His mercy, with rejection of His truth and love. In the solemn assembly of the last day, in the hearing of the universe, will be read the reason of the condemnation of the sinner. For the first time, parents will learn what has been the secret life of their children. Children will see how many wrongs they have committed against their parents. There will be a general revealing of the secrets and motives of the heart, for that which is hid will be made manifest. Those who have made sport of solemn things connected with the judgment will be sobered as they face its terrible reality. Those who have despised the Word of God will then face the author of the inspired oracles. We cannot afford to live with no reference to the day of judgment. For though long delayed, it is now near, even at the door, and hasteth greatly. The trumpet of the archangel will soon startle the living and wake the dead. At that day the wicked will be separated from the just, as the shepherd divides the goats from the sheep. When God asks, "Where are the children?" parents who have neglected their God-given responsibilities must meet that neglect in the judgment. The Lord will then inquire, "Where are the children that I gave you to train for me? Why are they not at my right hand?" Many parents will then see that unwise love blinded their eyes to their children's faults and left those children to develop deformed characters unfit for heaven. Others will see that they did not give their children time and attention, love and tenderness. Their own neglect of duty made the children what they are. Parents, if you lose your opportunity, God pity you. For in the day of judgment, God will say, "What have you done with my flock, my beautiful flock?" Suppose you should get to heaven and none of your children be there. How could you say to God, "Here I am, Lord, and the children which thou hast given me"? Heaven marks the neglect of parents. It is recorded in the books of heaven. Families will pass in review before God. When parents and children meet at the final reckoning, what a scene will be presented. Thousands of children who have been slaves to appetite and debasing vice, whose lives are moral wrecks, will stand face to face with the parents who made them what they are. Who but the parents must bear this fearful responsibility? Did the Lord make these youth corrupt? Oh, no. He made them in His image, a little lower than the angels. Who then has done the fearful work of forming the life character? Who changed their character so that they do not bear the impress of God, and must be forever separated from His presence as too impure to have any place with the pure angels in a holy heaven? Were the sins of the parents transmitted to the children in perverted appetites and passions, and was the work completed by the pleasure-loving mother in neglecting to properly train them according to the pattern given her? All these mothers will pass in review before God just as surely as they exist. In heaven is a pictorial record. Let parents and children remember that day by day they are each forming a character, and that the features of this character are imprinted upon the books of heaven. God is taking pictures of His people just as surely as an artist takes pictures of men and women, transferring the features of the face to the polished plate. What kind of picture do you wish to reproduce? Parents, answer the question. What kind of a picture will the great master artist make of you in the records of heaven? We must decide this now. Hereafter, when death shall come, there will be no time to straighten the crooked places in the character. To us individually, this should be a most important matter. Every day our likeness is being taken for time and for eternity. Let each one say, I am having my likeness taken today. Ask yourself daily, hourly, how will my words sound to the heavenly angels? Are they as apples of gold and pictures of silver, or are they like a blasting hail, wounding and bruising? Not only our words and actions, but our thoughts make up the picture of what we are. Then let every soul be good and do good. Let the picture made of you be one of which you will not be ashamed. Every feeling we cherish makes its impress upon the countenance. God help us to make our record in our families what we would wish it to be in the heavenly record. Have you been careless? Oh, that parents would look prayerfully and carefully after their children's eternal welfare. Let them ask themselves, have we been careless? Have we neglected this solemn work? Have we allowed our children to become the sport of Satan's temptations? Have we not a solemn account to settle with God because we have permitted our children to use their talents, their time and influence in working against the truth, against Christ? Have we not neglected our duty as parents and increased the number of the subjects of Satan's kingdom? If mothers neglect to properly educate their children, their neglect is reflected back upon them again, making their burdens and perplexities harder than they would have been if they had devoted time and patient care in training their children to obedience and submission. It will pay in the end for mothers to make the formation of the characters of their children their first and highest consideration, that the thorns may not take root and yield an abundant harvest. Children will condemn unfaithful parents. The curse of God will surely rest upon unfaithful parents. Not only are they planting thorns which will wound them here, but they must meet their own unfaithfulness when the judgment shall sit. Many children will rise up in judgment and condemn their parents for not restraining them and charge upon them their destruction. The false sympathy and blind love of parents causes them to excuse the faults of their children and pass them by without correction, and their children are lost in consequence, and the blood of their souls will rest upon the unfaithful parents. Children will pay tribute to faithful parents. When the judgment shall sit, and the book shall be opened, when the well done of the great judge is pronounced, and the crown of immortal glory is placed upon the brow of the victor, many will raise their crowns in sight of the assembled universe, and pointing to their mother say, she made me all I am through the grace of God. Her instruction, her prayers have been blessed to my eternal salvation. Results of faithful training will be manifest. All who have wrought with unselfish spirit will behold the fruit of their labors. The outwork of every right principle and noble deed will be seen. Something of this we see here, but how little of the result of the world's noblest work is in this life manifest to the doer. How many toil unselfishly and unweariedly for those who pass beyond their reach and knowledge. Parents and teachers lie down in their last sleep, their life work seeming to have been wrought in vain. They know not that their faithfulness has unsealed springs of blessing that can never cease to flow. Only by faith they see the children they have trained become a benediction and an inspiration to their fellow men, and the influence repeat itself a thousandfold. Men sow the seed from which above their graves others reap blessed harvests. They plant trees that others may eat the fruit. They are content here to know that they have set in motion agencies for good. In the hereafter, the action and reaction of all these will be seen. Parents may bring children with them to promised land. God has permitted light from His throne to shine all along the path of light. A pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night is moving before us as before ancient Israel. It is the privilege of Christian parents today, as it was the privilege of God's people of old, to bring their children with them to the promised land. You want a household for God? You want your family for God? You want to take them up to the gates of the city and say, "Here am I, Lord, and the children that Thou hast given me." They may be men and women that have grown to manhood and womanhood, but they are your children all the same, and your educating and your watchfulness over them have been blessed of God till they stand as overcomers. Now you can say, "Here am I, Lord, and the children." Broken family chains will be relinked. Jesus is coming with clouds and great glory. A multitude of shining angels will attend Him. He will come to honor those who have loved Him and kept His commandments, and to take them to Himself. He has not forgotten them or His promise. There will be a relinking of the family chain. Comfort for a bereaved mother. You inquire in regard to your little one being saved. Christ's words are your answer. Suffer little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Remember the prophecy, Thus saith the Lord, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted. Thus saith the Lord, Refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears. For thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to thine own border. This promise is yours. You may be comforted and trust in the Lord. The Lord has often instructed me that many little ones are to be laid away before the time of trouble. We shall see our children again. We shall meet them and know them in the heavenly courts. Put your trust in the Lord and be not afraid. Children will be born to mother's arms. Oh, wonderful redemption, long talked of, long hoped for, contemplated with eager anticipation, but never fully understood. The living righteous are changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the voice of God they were glorified, now they are made immortal, and with the risen saints are caught up to meet their Lord in the air. Angels gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Little children are borne by holy angels to their mother's arms. Friends long separated by death are united, never more to part, and with songs of gladness ascend together to the city of God. The day long hoped for, from the day when the first pair turned their sorrowing steps from Eden, the children of faith have waited the coming of the Promised One to break the destroyer's power and bring them again to the lost paradise. Heaven will be cheap enough if we obtain it through suffering. As I saw what we must be in order to inherit glory, and saw how much Jesus had suffered to obtain for us so rich an inheritance, I prayed that we might be baptized into Christ's sufferings, that we might not shrink at trials, but bear them with patience and joy, knowing what Jesus had suffered, that we through His poverty and sufferings might be made rich. Heaven is worth everything. Heaven is worth everything to us. We must not run any risk in this matter. We must take no venture here. We must know that our steps are ordered by the Lord. May God help us in the great work of overcoming. He has crowns for those that overcome. He has white robes for the righteous. He has an eternal world of glory for those who seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Everyone who enters the city of God will enter it as a conqueror. He will not enter it as a condemned criminal, but as a son of God. And the welcome given to everyone who enters there will be, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:34. Partakers of Christ's joy. We see a retinue of angels on either side of the gate, and as we pass in, Jesus speaks, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom that is prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Here He tells you to be a partaker of His joy, and what is that? It is the joy of seeing of the travail of your soul, fathers. It is the joy of seeing that your efforts, mothers, are rewarded. Here are your children. The crown of life is upon their heads, and the angels of God immortalize the names of the mothers whose efforts have won their children to Jesus Christ. The glorious day of victory. Now the church is militant. Now we are confronted with a world in darkness, almost wholly given over to idolatry. But the day is coming when the battle will have been fought, the victory won. The will of God is to be done on earth as it is done in heaven. All will be a happy, united family, clothed with the garments of praise and thanksgiving, the robe of Christ's righteousness. All nature in surpassing loveliness will offer to God a tribute of praise and adoration. The world will be bathed in the light of heaven. The light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold greater than it is now. The years will move on in gladness. Over the scene the morning stars will sing together, and the sons of God will shout for joy, while God in Christ will unite in proclaiming, there shall be no more sin, neither shall there be any more death. These visions of future glory, scenes pictured by the hand of God, should be dear to His children. We need to keep ever before us this vision of things unseen. It is thus that we shall be able to set a right value of the things of eternity and the things of time. It is this that will give us power to influence others for the higher life. God will say, "Well done." When you stand before the great white throne, then your work will appear as it is. The books are open, the record of every life made known. Many in that vast company are unprepared for the revelations made. Upon the ears of some, the words will fall with startling distinctness, weighed in the balance and found wanting. To many parents, the judge will say in that day, "You have had my word, plainly setting forth your duty. Why have you not obeyed its teachings? Knew ye not that it was the voice of God? Did I not bid you search the Scriptures that you might not go astray? You have not only ruined your own souls, but by your pretensions to godliness you have misled many others. You have no part with me. Depart, depart." Another class stand pale and trembling, trusting in Christ, and yet oppressed with a sense of their own unworthiness. They hear with tears of joy and gratitude the Master's commendation. The days of incessant toil, of burden-bearing, and of fear and anguish are forgotten as that voice, sweeter than the music of angel harps, pronounces the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter ye into the joy of your Lord." There stand the host of the redeemed, the palm branch of victory in their hand, the crown upon their head. These are the ones who by faithful, earnest labor have obtained a fitness for heaven. The life work performed on earth is acknowledged in the heavenly courts as a work well done. With joy unutterable, parents see the crown, the robe, the harp given to their children. The days of hope and fear are ended. The seed sown with tears and prayers may have seemed to be sown in vain, but their harvest is reaped with joy at last. Their children have been redeemed. Fathers, mothers, shall the voices of your children swell the song of gladness in that day. End of the book, Child Guidance, by Ellen G. White.